If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There are a couple of ifs in the readings today. If today you hear his voice. And then in the second reading, if you were raised with Christ. Is that psalm saying that God only speaks to some of us? Or is St. Paul saying that only some of us were raised with Christ? I think every person here has had the voice of Christ speak to you, certainly in the gospel just now. But even to some extent, Christ speaking through Paul in those words of St. Paul and through the psalm and even through old Koheleth in that first reading. The question is not whether God is speaking to us, but whether we're hearing his voice. If today you hear his voice. And for all of us who are baptized, the question is whether or not whether the resurrection of Christ is at work in us, but whether we're cooperating with the power of his resurrection within us. And here's a very important word that I ask all of you to hear and take to heart today. Today, give Jesus permission to be in charge of your life. Give Jesus permission to work in your life and to convert and heal what needs converting and healing in your life. God is always a gentleman. He never forces himself on any of us. In the service of God, you'll be more free than the richest and most powerful person on the earth. The rich man in the gospel today certainly learned that lesson. He was in charge of all of his great wealth, but he wasn't free. He was a slave to his own desires. And that's the great paradox in this world. We only become truly free when we consent to being in the service of God. The church talks about three evangelical counsels: poverty, chastity, and obedience. And sometimes we can think that those are things that monks and nuns and maybe a priest here and there need to be concerned with. But no, they're called evangelical or gospel counsels because they're for everyone who's willing to hear and listen to the gospel. So given the gospel that we just heard, I want to talk about the evangelical counsel to poverty. And poverty is not the same as impoverishment or destitution. The richest person on the planet could exercise greater poverty than a homeless person, because it's not about how much stuff I own. It's about how much stuff owns me. The evangelical counsel to poverty is about being willing and able to share what I have with others. When I was teaching up at Conception, there was a young man in the seminary there, and he was always giving away everything that he had. There was a stretch of time where he lived in Chicago for a while, and he told the story about how he took the metro downtown, and there he would run into someone asking him for change. And he'd wind up giving away all of his money. And then he would have to beg for help to get back to the seminary. I remember a family who owned a construction company. And they lived in a very large and beautiful house. But their house was an open door for whomever was in need. They knew how to be safe about it. They weren't crazy. But their house, they also did not hoard any of their belongings just for themselves. No matter how hard they worked for it, they refused to become attached to it or selfish with it. They wanted to store up treasures in heaven, not in this passing world. They were willing to let their good fortune be for the good of all and not just for themselves. On the other hand, I remember hearing a story about a man in his upper 80s who was a multimillionaire. And when someone in the church approached him to ask for a donation for some project or another, he was sympathetic. But he fretted and fretted about how much he could afford to give away. Because what if he got sick and needed it? Or what if some disaster or another happened and he needed it? What if those are disastrous ifs, because they revealed how little he thought of the Lord, how little he wanted to be dependent on the Lord, let alone on anyone else, how little faith he really had. The evangelical counsel to poverty is not about being irresponsible or being lazy. It's about trusting in the Lord, that he really does love you and really will care for you. It's about remembering that none of this really belongs to us, because we can't take any of it with us. Someone said last night, you never see a U-Haul at a funeral. We can use the stuff of this world to store up treasure in heaven that will last forever, right? The relationships that we make, certainly with God and with one another, can be with us forever. And that can bring us beautiful, beautiful joy. The joy of the gospel, we say. So learn gospel poverty, and you'll be learning to be truly free with your stuff, and you'll learn joy. In the words of St. Paul today, put to death then the parts of you that are earthly. It's very strong language there. Put it to death. And then put on the new self in the image of Christ, who was joyfully free. Jesus himself sometimes ate fancy meals and sometimes abstained from food. Sometimes he hung out with rich people. And sometimes he associated with the poor. Sometimes he worked hard. And sometimes he rested and celebrated. The gospel elsewhere implies that his clothing was of a pretty high quality. And yet he freely chose to die on the cross, stripped of everything. Jesus is the truly free man. And at no time was he more free than when he was nailed to that cross. Christ on the cross is the image of the free man, the man who embodied gospel poverty. So, if you trust me, I invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. And in the silence of your heart and mind, to say the following to Jesus. Lord, I trust you and I love you, and I give you permission to work in my life and to be in charge of my life. So the homework for this week is to think this week about what it is that you struggle to give up or to share with another. Ask the Lord to help you to grow in freedom.